Hi, we're on page Kufchav 120, Halacha Kufchav Tes. Halacha Kufchav Tes on page Kufchav. Kabeid es Hashem mehoi necha. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Give honor to Hashem from your wealth. Basically means take from your money and give gifts to Hashem. Now he gives us an interpretation. But he gives ato koine argos lishmor kesev vizahov. He's explaining the pasuk in his own words. It's simple, self understood that a person would purchase a box to guard his silver and gold. That's a davar pasha. A person has money. Where do you put the money? You put the money in your mattress. No, just joking. Okay, you buy a good mattress to make sure. You put the money in the bank. A person does everything possible to preserve his wealth. He puts it in various retirement funds and whatever it is. A person, Bitcoin is not necessarily a good idea. Yeah. I wouldn't go there. But
it goes down the drain bit by bit.
A person is an amazing phenomenon. Such a thing, the cyber currency. What a bizarre thing! But in any event,
nobody knows what it means, but they're investing it, and they don't even know what.
No one has any clue what it means, and it can go up like a puff. It's not based on anything real. It's total. It's like it represents our society. Make believe.
In England, the one guy by mistake threw out his hard drive, and that was around $200 million of bitcoins. So he already is suing the municipality that doesn't allow him to search the dam. So he's suing already. It's like a year goes the court.
The Russian government is very, very into this now. They have no money. They're going bankrupt.
They robbed them of $41 million.
The Russian government, they themselves are, their whole economy now, the government itself is involved in the cyber currency. Any event, a person should be mechaved Hashem as well. A person has assets. It's only normal. It's only natural for him to go and do everything in his power to preserve his wealth, to protect his wealth. Therefore, the pasuk says, Yoiser, that's the way it is in the world. Olam hazeh, Yoiser, yeshcha liknois argos noy lahatznia sifarecha usifi lecha. A person should, how much more so should he purchase objects? Now, does this simply mean to buy a bookcase? Maybe that's what it means on a very simple level. I think he really means something deeper. A person should purchase a box, a beautiful bookcase, to store his books. Usifilecha. And what's usifilecha mean? What does that mean? Usifilecha means your sidurim? Is that what it means? Usifilecha means your tfilos. Okay, so, no, that's the word siforecha. What is the next word? Usifilecha, that's a new word. Usifilecha means a sidur. We have the word that we have for a prayer book is called a sidur, an arrangement. Miloshon Seder. Is he here coining a new word called that a prayer book is called sifilecha? Miloshon tefillah. What is a sidur?
Is it tefillin?
Oh, you mean your tefillin? Oh. Tefillin. Oh, I didn't realize that's what it means. Okay, you're right. You're right. Now I understand. I didn't even understand. You're tefillin. Okay, thank you. Yashakoyach. You see that? You really, really taught me something. Great. What? You should purchase a nice tefillin zekel. A nice. That's for the sefarech. That's for your books. Nice sfarim shanks. Right, what threw me off was I thought the word usafilecha means your prayers. I thought. And then I said, what does it mean you're going to buy a nice box for your prayers? I was thinking to myself, he doesn't mean to go buy boxes. He means something, he means a person should work on his midos and make sure, you know, I didn't really know what it means, that you should make sure that you review your learning, you do things in this world to make sure that in the next world everything will be there for you. I was groping in the darkness. But now that you have revealed to me the word sifilecha means your tefillin, and you should put your tefillin in beautiful cases, in beautiful bags. They sell also, they sell some big business, Judaica, to buy silver tefillin boxes. Everyone see that? Mm-hmm. They make some very nice, tefillin silver boxes.
For the etrog.
Right, whatever it is. It's whatever it is. But these are things done zekeli v'anveyut in order to enhance the chashivos of your tefillin. Of your tefillin, you should put your tefillin in a beautiful. There's one more volume over here. You should put your tefillin.
And also for the etrog, they make a silver box.
Right. And you should have nice bookcases in order to give chashivos to a davar shebi kedusha. If a person goes out of his way to preserve his wealth, to put his wealth, his gold and silver, in a secure, safe place, to put it away in a bank that has FDIC or whatever it is, to put away your money to make sure that's preserved well, how much more so should a person be careful to preserve and to care for objects of Kedusha, like Sefarim and Tefillin. Next halacha. Kabed es Hashem mehoi necha. Okay, there's another. I think he's translating the word mehonecha. He's playing with the vowels, and he's giving us another interpretation. There are many interpretations of this word. Hoi normally means abundance. Give honor to Hashem from your abundance. What is the abundance? The abundance simply refers to money. Abay Sai, let me share with you a secret. Money is not everything.
Health is not the only thing.
It's the only thing.
Health is not
the only thing.
Health is 5%.
So, first interpretation, it says hoin. Hoin means abundance. Yeah. What is abundance referred to? Abundance is wealth. Give honor to Hashem from your wealth. What is the honor to Hashem? Objects that are associated with Hashem, tefillin, sefarim, and the like, they should be wrapped and presented in beautiful objects, which we all know. We see today, you have, look at these beautiful bookcases. Okay? Tefillin, we have a beautiful tefillin zekel, a mezuzah. A person can purchase a beautiful case for the mezuzah, a Sefer Torah. You know how much a mantle costs? You know how much the cheapest mantle on a Sefer Torah costs? $500. You can't even get the cheapest mantle for a Sefer Torah for less than $500. And if you want to spend money, you can spend up to thousands. You can have the Atzei Chaim plated with silver. And they have a mantle. They make very, very expensive, exquisite things. This is all part of Zeh Keli V'Anavei, all part of the fulfillment of the Pasuk Kabed Es Hashem Mehoi Necha. Now we're going to a new interpretation. Mehoi Necha means your abundance. It means abundance means lav dafka money. It means talents. And it gives examples. You have something more than someone else, not necessarily money, but a talent. Kabed es Hashem mehoincha mimashe hi no hacha. He translates the word mehoincha lashon of hano, pleasure, not hon. Hon before meant abundance of assets. Here it means pleasure, something which gives you and other people pleasure. Instead of using your voice to sing for an opera, use your beautiful voice to daven before the tzibur on the Yom Neroim. Mimashe hi no hacha. Yesh l'cha kol orev. A person is gifted with a beautiful voice. It gives people pleasure, gives you pleasure. Mitzvah lehispalel. There's a mitzvah to be mispalel. Zeke. Now we go to another halacha, very similar. Zeke leviyadu. This is my God, I will beautify him. His no'el lefana b'mitzvahis. You shall beautify the mitzvahis. For example, Esrei g'no'e. The lulav noeh, the sukkah noeh, the talis noeh. Now notice the Gemara. There are more things than another. For the Gemara over here does not give all of the Yehuda Hakasa does not give all of the examples of what it means hisna lefanav. Now what I'm alluding to here is the Gemara, the Rashi, and that Gemara in Masech the Shabbos is something very bizarre, which has triggered an enormous amount of study and discussion. Rashi says that you should have a beautiful kulmus. When you write a Sefer Torah, the kulmus, the quill, should be beautiful. What does that mean? The kulmus is just a tool that you use to write the Sefer Torah. When you finish writing the Sefer Torah, where does the Kol Miskol? In the garbage. I'm not so sure it has even any kedusha. The Kol Miskol goes in Sheamus. Never heard you put the Kol Miskol in Sheamus. The Kol Miskol, you don't throw it b'derech b'zoyin, but the Kol Miskol has so what does it mean that you use a Kol Miskol? No, you ever hear you tell a contractor, he comes to the house, he should purchase a beautiful screwdriver. A gold-plated screwdriver. And, you know, and make sure it's perfectly clean and polished. A cornerstone ceremony of a big scissors to cut the ribbon, a beautiful pair of scissors, right? Everyone is watching. But when you're doing the malacha, you put on your dungarees, and you get your hands dirty, and in the toolbox, it's a pride that your tools are all rough and been worked in, and you can see the remains of all of the of your activities are on your tools.
Yeah.
So what does it mean that Rashi there says you should have a beautiful coolness? So everyone's struggling. And over here it's very interesting that the Sefer Chassidim, who lived not that much after Rashi, did not mention that. All the Gemara says his snow lefanu b'mitzvah. I think the Gemara maybe, I'm not even sure the Gemara gives examples. And here he gives examples. Have a beautiful Esrog and Lulav, have a beautiful Sukkah, beautiful Talis. All of these things are things that are done in public. When you go to Shul, nice Talis. When you have a Sukkah, okay, your Sukkah is your bias. You go to Shul, you have to show off. You got to show off. Look at my Lulav and look at my Esrog. You walk around a Shanis. Why do you have a Shanis, Rabbi Yisrael? Let's be serious here. Why do we go to Shanis? Is it because of what it says in the Gemara? They walked around the Mizbeach? No. You know why I have a shanis? Because it's an opportunity to show off a lulav and esrog. You walk around the whole shul. You see what I got? Just joking. Just joking. His noel lefana b'mitzvahs, you have to display. So why does Rashi say that you should have a beautiful kulmus? The kulmus is not something that the tzibur will ever see. The tzibur, when you get the aliyah and you read from the Torah, you don't know what the kulmus looked like. You don't know if he used a turkey feather or he used, I don't know, whatever else he used. Today, the minhag is to use turkey feathers. We always had a very long discussion about this, is that it's shocking that we use turkey feathers to write Sifrei Torah when the turkey is a bird that some are of the opinion and is not even kosher because there's no mesorah for turkey. And it's Sefer Shalocha min hamutar b'ficha. You're only supposed to have on the Sefer Torah items which are kosher. The klaf must come from an animal that you're allowed to eat. An animal that's a kosher animal. It doesn't have to be kosher shlita, but it must be from an animal that's kosher. The ink that's on the Sefer Torah can only come from sources of kosher creatures. You're not allowed to put the ink that you use to write the Sefer Torah may not be derived from an animal. The ingredients may not come from an animal, a fish, or any sheretz that is not kosher. So you would expect that the tool that we use to write the Sefer Torah should also come from something which is not halachically problematic. Like it says in the Gemara, a konesh shel agam. The Gemara only mentions one type of quill, a reed that grows along the seashore, grows in a swamp. And for some strange reason that no one really has a good answer, this, what it says in the Gemara, is not in practice. No one uses, not that I know of, I've never heard of any sefer using a kone shel agam to take one of these reeds and to cut it and to use it as a kulmus. Seemingly it's because it doesn't work. It's not hard enough, and Jews through the 2,000 years of Golos did not live in locations where it was accessible. So they improvised and they used something similar or something that the best they can get, which happened to be feathers of birds. And it just happens to be that the turkey feather is cheap, it's easy to come by. If you want to go buy feathers, I once was involved in feathers. And they're very expensive, these exotic feathers of an ostrich and all these. They're very, very expensive to get these feathers. Go online, try to buy them, not so cheap. Turkey feathers, you can buy a whole bag for $1. You You can buy hundreds of them from mamish peanuts for nothing. So Jews were not wealthy. They lived in very poor parts of the world. And the only thing that was available were turkey feathers or feathers. So that's why it became very popular. But it's mamish. It's a wonder. Today, we can probably find in some part of the world a reed that's hard enough that would be good. And we'll import it. It's a big deal. We'll do a lot of crazier things. People go for the yard sites. They travel to parts of the world you never even heard of. And they're willing to risk their life to go and to go to Kvarim. So what, you can't go import a couple of reeds from some part of the world far away that we can use as a quill? No one yet has decided to do this. We're still using turkey feathers, which many will argue is not even a kosher bird. I mean, who doesn't eat turkey roll? But even if it is, but it's not obviously a mehudar. And yet, what does Rashi say? Rashi was ahead of the game. Rashi says, see, that's I think Rashi was alluding to. Rashi, maybe even his time, recognized that people are using for the quill things that are not, that are surprising. A kulmis noe, a beautiful kulmis. The simple answer given is that if you cut the kulmis in a beautiful way with perfection, then when you write, the script will come out on the paper, on the parchment, legible, clear. So what he means, kulmis, is now referring to the actual pen. He's referring to the cut. It's an art. If anyone here takes a course, I once upon a time took a very good course in Safras. And what do you learn in Safras? Well, you learn the halachas, which there's no end to. The laws of Safras is an infinite limud, mamish, infinite limud. And then you learn what's called umnis, the trade. You learn how to write. And that's, it's not everyone, it's not so easy. Part of the things you learn how to teach you, which takes us a lot of time, is how to cut a quill. How to cut it. You have a turkey feather, and you have to learn how to cut it in the right way to prepare it. It's a science in and of itself. Okay, it's a very big topic. So Rashi just, when his kulmus means the cutting of the kulmus, not the actual kulmus itself. Rabbi Pinkus, who here is, he lives around the corner. He davens here very often. And he is the owner of the store on Coney Island, Teferestan. They are one of the biggest, very, very, very influential in the world of Safras, all over the world, because he is very involved in Hachnosa Sefer Torah, in arranging for shuls all over this country to purchase and to inaugurate a new Sefer Torah. So he very, very often, almost every week, he goes somewhere in the country, gets on a plane, and he's involved in arranging the writing of a new Sefer Torah, including the fundraising campaign. He specializes in using the writing of a Sefer Torah as a teaching opportunity and as a fundraising opportunity for every organization. You need someone to guide you, to teach you the tricks of the trade. And there's a lot to know. And he's an expert in this. And part of it is that when you finish a Sefer Torah, you have a ceremony. And everyone here, I'm sure, has been to multiple ceremonies of Hachnasa Sefer Torah. And when he actually does the ceremony, he has this very beautiful thing. I never saw this before until him. He has a silver feather holder. It's heavy. It's silver, and it's a beautiful piece of work. And you insert the turkey feather. The turkey feather is inserted into this object. No, we're learning Sidur Chassidim. We don't have. And you insert the feather into this holder. So when you take pictures, Achnosa Sefer Torah, when the photographer is taking pictures, you see the sofer writing, it looks like he's using a silver quill. It's not really silver, it's really a silver holder which you insert into the silver holder, the turkey feather. So is that what Rashi meant? A kulnis no'eh? Not likely. That's what Rashi meant. But definitely he has given it new meaning. And he told me, I asked him once about this, he told me it was custom made. He had a custom made. He went and to a silversmith, and this object that he uses at every ceremony, which gets into every picture, and someone here has everyone here have a picture of you writing a letter in the Sefer Torah, sitting next to the Sefer, and you look carefully, at least from him, he has this beautiful silver quill. So is that what it means? That Rashi says that a kulmis no'e? I don't think so, but it's a nice try. It's a nice idea. Now, so this is an interesting topic in of itself. What does it mean? What exactly does it mean over here? It's interesting to take note that the Sefer Hasidim, who was a Rishon and came not long after Rashi, when he cites examples, he deliberately left out this idea called having a beautiful kulmus. And Rashi went out of his way to write the kulmus noya, which has opened up a whole world of discussion in many of the commentators to really understand the depth of what it means to honor Hashem by beautifying Hashem. We think about beauty as something only in public. Is there such a thing as beauty in regard to serving Hashem in your private, innermost private chambers? And Rashi seemingly is alluding to something like that by adding into his list of items which should be used. Zekhi Levian Veyu, the Kulmis Noya. Yes?
Once we went to this store, and he told that for writing a Sefer Torah, we should check 60 cows to make parchment from these 60. And how they are going to clean to be write on this. They are going to use the dog dirt.
What?
Dog dirt.
Dark?
Dog.
Dog? Dog?
Yeah, the dirt of the caleb, they are going, he's going to clean it.
Oh, to clean it.
Yeah.
The soil of a caleb is used to clean it.
Yeah, with the caleb dirt.
You want to do that?
Ask him.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
They are going to use this, yes.
Fertilized, they're going to use the soya.
Acidic.
Maybe
acidic,
there's something to it.
You're going to kill it only by this, not
nothing else. He's saying here that there's a tradition. This is what he's saying, that when they clean the parchment, the tanners, to use only the waste of a dog, to clean the parchment.
Why?
Maybe there's some Kabbalistic reason for this. Lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. We knew that the Torah says that you give a nevela, there's a mitzvah, that la kelev tashlichun oisoi. That when a nevela, you're supposed to give the nevela to the dog. And there's a medrash, why do you give the nevela to the dog? Because the dog did you a favor. The dog did not bark when you left Egypt. So there's some spiritual element in a dog which has to get its reward. And he's suggesting here, I never heard this before, is that when you write a Sefer Torah, the end result is you're not going to have any remnant of the dog when you write the Sefer Torah. But he's saying is that the ingredient that comes from a dog, which can be used to clean and process the leather, should come specifically from a dog. He's saying there's such a tradition. I never heard this. If it's correct, fine. But we shouldn't laugh at it, because you really never know. Everything many times has a very interesting source and reason. Okay, Kuf Lamed, next halacha. Yoichei Sadik Darkoi. This is the pasuk in Iyov. What does the pasuk mean? Yesh Adam She'enei Zakai She'ikabel Hamokam Tifilos. It's a fascinating halacha we're about to learn. There are people that in the eyes of society, they're nothing special. But yet these people, when they daven, Hashem listens. Okay, there are certain people that have a koyach. Now, actually, I don't even know where to prepare this. There are certain groups of Hasidim that are like this. There's a certain group of Hasidim. I forgot the whole story. Someone actually here told this to me in this shir, once showed this to me, explained this to me, is that there was a certain Rebbe, a certain Rebbe of a certain dynasty, that was given a bracha for whatever reason that he has the koyach of tefillah. That even though he's not, you know, the biggest Talmud Chacham and the biggest Yoresh Shemayim, there was something about him, a unique character that he had, that in reward was given, that when he davens, Hashem listens. Why? You would never know. You would never understand why. He can't give a good daf yom yishir. He can't give a good drasha. He doesn't have a great voice. But when someone has a tzara, rachmana litzlan, you go to him and he davens for you, somehow things get better. And that was passed on in his family. Or at least people believe, at least the Mesora is, that this koyach is passed on. So that is why this fellow, this dynasty, has a very big following. Because their Rebbe has a gift. Now, in the eyes of the world, him, there's nothing special about him. We don't see in his Chidush Torah anything that's so outstanding. But yet, Hashem gives every person unique gifts. And that's what it says over here. And I'll give you some other examples, very fascinating ideas. Yesh Adam She'enei Zakai. There are people that they're not Zakai. Zakai here simply means there's nothing special about them. But yet, She'ekabal Mokam Tfilos. There's nothing really special that why Hashem should listen to their prayers. Ela Bavur Toikev Tachanunim Vidimas Einov. Asher Tamid Boicha Umischanein. Okay, so he's saying of him a little different, but due to the fact that they are consistent, that they don't let up every single day. Afal Pisha Ein Biyodai Zichus Umasim Toivim Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tefilosoi V'Oisechefsoi, and Hashem does His bidding. So when you look at a person and you see them and you see that they're successful, even though you cannot understand, you do an investigation, what zuchus do you have? What did you do that you deserve this? You don't realize that the person who keeps at it and is mispalel with intensity every single day and does not let up, that creates a special power which gives him success.
But they do a construction across the street from me. There's a picture of a rose.
Kerasteer, this rug
against the mice.
Mice
away. I never
heard
of it.
Say again?
This rug, the picture of the rug keeps mice away from the construction site.
Wow. So what if mice away? It works?
A lot of people use it. We had a problem many years ago when they told us to put his picture on the wall of the
office. Who is this?
Very strange to me. I would think it's a bazillion. It's a disgrace. You have mice, you call... In this generation, listen, if you have mice, you call an exterminator. You don't go put a picture up of a holy rabbi and magic. To me, it's totally bizarre. If you're telling me these things, I remember hearing this. Listen, that's not the way I was brought up. It's not the way I come from to do these type of things. I don't go for this, but... What? Rezil HaMalach. You keep in your house, Rezil HaMalach, you'll be Zoycha, there's no Sreifa. There's no Sreifa. So now they make you, buy it in the store, a little button that you can buy it on microfilm, you can carry in your pocket. Why only have you carrying your wallet on microfilm? You can have the whole Rezil HaMalach. We grew up that a segula for Chil Shabbos is, a school for Sreifa is Shabbos. Because it says in the Pasuk, Shabbos, lo sevaru eish b'chol nosh v'oseichem, there's a chazal, if I shmir Shabbos, if you observe Shabbos, then you're protected from a sreifa. Now, that, I believe, is much more real than Rezil HaMalach. You have in your pocket the microfilm Rezil HaMalach, you want to have it tattooed onto your body already. Microfilm tattoo on your body, but why don't they insert a chip? Right, cut open your skin, put a chip of Rezil HaMalach so you can take it with you into the shower. And you can do all of the worst averos. The worst averos. Speak Lashon Hara, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Chil Shabbos. It's going to really save you from a sreifa. But if you are meticulous in Shemira Shabbos, so it says in the Pasuk, It says Ushmartim, it says about Shmartim Eshapsosai, Vyas Mishpotai Tishmar, and then it says the next words, Velosavadoesh, Bukhol Moshvosechem, Via Mashabos, which Chazal interpret that if you're meticulous in Shmirah Shabbos, there's not going to be a fire. The Pshudishal Mikvah is a say, don't go and light a fire on Shabbos. But if you like segulois, some people they have a need for segulois, Chazal gave you a segula. It says if you observe Shabbos, then guess what? I give you a bracha. I give you a bracha. Lo sevaru esh b'chol moshvo seichem. There will not be a fire in all of your dwelling places, b'yom ha-Shabbos, if you'll be observant of Shabbos. So in the world that I came from, which I don't think exists anymore, that was the type of skula which they taught us was effective. Putting a picture of a Gadol Hadar on your refrigerator and keeping away the mice, we never heard of these type of things. Okay? That's too easy. It's too easy. You have to work on Shabbos. Shabbos is not easy. It's not easy to be meticulous in Shmirah Shabbos. It's very, very hard. Those are the type of schoolists that we were familiar with. Now, I want to go right there. Now, I want to explain over here. I'll give you this. There was a marshal, there was a person, and this alludes to this. It's not really what it says, but at least it triggered this idea, which is definitely true. It's only hinted to when we just learned, is that you never know who has a koyach of tefillah. Okay, there's a story, it's a Hasidic story, but the application is very interesting. The Hasidic story goes like this. True or not, I don't know, but this is what it says in the big books. There was a big Rebbe, and the Hasidim said, we got a big, big trouble. We need someone to daven for us, to help us. So the Rebbe said, you go over here to this address. This guy, he could help you. If he davens, Hashem listens. They go to the address. The person, there's a stench of alcohol a mile away. The person is a shikur, okay, a total addicted to alcohol. Alcoholic Anonymous will do nothing for him. He's a goner. And they go there into the house, and he's fast asleep. He's lying on the floor. He's drunk as could possibly be. And the Rebbe, and they said, this cannot be the address. They go back to the Rebbe, and they say, Rebbe, we went there. There's a shikur rolling on the floor. What are you talking about? No, that's the guy. That's him. He's the person. Go to him. He can help you. So they go and they have to take him to rehab, v'chulu, till finally he gains consciousness and they ask him to daven. Kachava. He davens. When he davens, wow, Shemaim opens up. So they come back. What's going on? How could it be? So he says, you have to understand, this person, for whatever reason, we don't understand, he has a gift. Hashem gave him a gift. He has that Pesach, the Shemayim. Certain people are gifted. He knows how to daven. Ze l'umas ze boro Elokim. If in Shemayim someone gets a gift, then they dispatch SWAT teams from all parts of the world to take it away. To prevent it from being utilized. That's the way the world works. There's always going to be a balance. Because in Shemayim they gave him the gift of tefillah, they also gave him the incredible weakness of losing consciousness due to being addicted to substances which take away his ability to daven. He has a nisayon in life. He can't, that he, most of the time of his existence, he's not even aware of his surroundings. He is unconscious. He's drunk. He's addicted. Unfortunately, he's a sick person. He needs help. Why did he suffer that weakness? Because if he was awake 24/7 like us, then the world Mashiach would come. Because his koyach is so potent of tefillah, the world would change. And the world is not yet ready. The world doesn't deserve it. So, I heard this drasha said in Purim. Purim, Hashem gave us an incredible nisayon. It's very true. You read the Svarim, they talk about Purim. There's no day a year that's more mesugol koyach tefillah than Purim. And people take advantage of this. You see people who are very serious. They daven kivasikin, they say tehillim before davening for 2 hours, and they daven and daven. They spend a good part of the day davening and being oystic in tefillah, because if you read what it says in these books, It's pretty scary, the koyach of tefillah that we have on Purim. In Shemayim, they're not very happy that the gates of heaven are open on Purim. And therefore, the balance, the counterbalance, the pshar they made in Shemayim was, Purim is a mitzvah of chayiv adam levasume bipuraya adilo yoda ben or haman baruch mordechai. And most people do not know how to deal with that halacha in a responsible way. Human nature. So what happens? It comes Purim. Everything's a big joke. People get drunk. And the Mishalach Manos is not done the way it's supposed to be done. And the Suda. And before you blink, you wasted the whole day. The whole day is gone. And how much time did you spend davening the way you should? Think about it. There's probably no day a year where mincha is davened shaloi kehalacha like on Purim. Chazal said that a person should be zohir b'tfilas mincha because Eliyo Hanavi was answered b'shas mincha. There is no day the entire year where mincha is davened with less kavana than on Purim. Because it's in the middle of the day, you're all fatracht in bringing Mashallah Manos here and there, getting ready for the Suda. If you're drinking, if you had been drinking, then certainly you're not in the proper frame of mind. You have no yeshiva das, and you don't daven the right way you should daven. Shachris, unfortunately, it's also not so good. People are in a rush. The Megillah takes this, that, go do this. Why is it like this? It was by design. Because in Shemayim, when they give bracha to this world, it doesn't come down so easy. It has to pass through many departments. There's a lot of bureaucracy. And a lot of people have to sign off. People who have special interests. And a lot of special interest groups that have to sign off on the bill before it comes down to this world. And everyone chips away. Ah, you want me to sign on this? Oh, no way. I'm not signing off on this. You got to give me a concession. You got to give me, build me a bridge. Build me a bridge to nowhere before we sign off on this benefit. And that's what it is. The nisyonos of Purim are so great. It's all aimed at taking away Yishuv Hadas in order to daven properly. Just like this fellow, this drunk, this shikur, who the Rebbe said, go to him. He knows how to daven. And when the Hasidim saw that he knows, they saw him, they say, Rebbe, what are you talking about? He says, that's why. It's a trade-off. Everything in life is a trade-off. People have tremendous bracha. They have tremendous nisyonos that counterbalance the bracha. That's just the way it is. We mentioned last week, this svarah, I can think of it the whole week. It really shook me up, this svarah. In the Aseres HaDibros, We have a mitzvah of lois sachmoid. Do not covet your fellow's property, his wife, his beautiful wife, his beautiful car, his beautiful this, beautiful that. And then it says, v'chol asher l'riach. What more? You already said his wife, you already said his donkey, you already said his possessions. So what is the pasuk coming to air when it says, v'chol asher l'riach? So the answer is, v'chol asher l'riach is not part of the prohibition. It's an explanation of why you should not covet your friend's possessions, because it's a package deal. When you see your friend as bracha, he has a beautiful this, a beautiful that, and fancy this, fancy that, but you should know, and you don't, you really have no clue what's going on. He also has very big nisyonos in life. No one came down to this world with everything. No one. Does not exist. You have this thing, but you don't have this. Every person here in this room has something that the other person does not even have, even something close to. A certain bracha you have in your life, no one comes near that. No one has near what you have in this respect. And everyone else, you know, you're lacking somewhere else. It's a package deal. You want what his beautiful car? It's v'chol asher l'reyach. It comes with a price. The beautiful car comes with everything else that he has. And he has in life nisyonos, difficulties, which you don't want to touch. You don't want to go near. You have bracha in that respect. So don't be jealous of someone. Because with the bracha that he has, unfortunately, the way the world is set up, he has difficulties. And that's why Hashem compensated by giving him bracha in another dimension, another respect. Don't be jealous because it's a package deal. It's v'chol asher l'rayacha. This shikur has a gift like no one else can daven. But it comes with an price. And the price is, he's an addict. He doesn't have the ability to control himself because that's the way it goes. And he alludes to that. There are people here, you look to a person, she'enai zakai, she'ekabel ha'mokam tefilosa. You don't get it. Why does he have this tremendous bracha? He has it for a reason. Hashem gave him this bracha, he keeps at it, he has a special, even though at face value he doesn't deserve it, he has it, and even though he doesn't have zuchus emaisim toivim, no, he has a ma'ilah, he writes it because of the toikef. It's not really what I'm saying, it's just it really triggered this thought when I prepared, I thought about this, but it's a little bit here, but people have special bracha for special reasons, which are unique to them, and they deserve what they have, and we should appreciate that, and have respect for their bracha, not question Hashem why them and not me. Yeah.
But he's a very excellent.
He's successful. Because why? Because he has the chokhmah. He has it. It works. People go to him. They are healed. Oh, but he's a nasty person. No. When it comes to good health, get the job done. You don't need, if the person gets the job done, that's a common, very, very common. He doesn't have to be the nice guy. This business, you get medical needs, you get, right? That's how it is. Okay, let's just do one more halacha very quickly. Halacha, chakuf alav, shoyl, imshol adam, dover shoot shevach lebayroi, kigoyd al limud toira, oy al dover acher, mechef se shmaim, shevach asnaf shalom, akal shparuchu shmet, hilos, avo pish, aim, biyode, masim toim. Now, this is an amazing halacha. He writes over here that if a person makes a request of Hashem, a dover ruchni, and he does not deserve it, he gets it. Now this is something which people tell they write about this that it's proven. Don't try, they say it works? Do I ever try it? Unfortunately, not. But if you are mispalel for Hashem for a dover ruchni, the claim by people who daven for real, who really daven the way they should daven, it is so easy to get what you want. If you daven that you should be a masmid, I should be able today to cover the whole daf. I want to learn a daf gemara today. Every day, you know, I struggle. I only get through halfway. And you daven just basic kavana, not asking you, nothing special. You just when it comes to ahava rabba, just say the words. Don't mumble them. Don't think about what's going on in your life. Just try to concentrate for 2-3 minutes. It's very hard. It's almost impossible for many of us. Just try to concentrate. Read the words. Ahava rabo, ahav tonu, Hashem Elokeinu, chemla, gidoyla, visera, chomalto, oleinu. Say the words for real and concentrate. Hashem will give it to you. And he'll give it to you in a way, not you'll say, oh, it's just because I dive inside. You will see with your own eyes siyata d'shmaya, success in spiritual matters. Now, if you mispal for Hashem for a new job, that's not going to necessarily work. If you mispal for good health, that's already a difficult tefillah works. We have emunah. We don't see how it works. That's much, much harder. But when you are mispalel for spiritual attainments that do not involve anything gashmius, the Sefer Hasidim writes this right here, and all of the Baalei Musa write this, try it. Try it and come back to me and see what happens. Nothing special. You don't have to go to the Kosel to daven. You don't have to go do anything. Just do the best you can sincerely on a very normal level to have success in spiritual matters. I need success in not talking Lashon Hara. I need success in not talking during Chazaras Hashatz. I need success in being able to learn a certain amount every single day. I need success in being able to concentrate during Shemona Esrei a little bit better. And you mispalel sincerely to Hashem to success in these matters. And these matters do not involve money, do not involve anything physical in this world. It says in all the big books that it is so easy to get what you want. You would be blown away how Hashem will listen to this prayer and give it to you on a silver platter. If you're asking for money, not so fast. Any Dover Gashmi has to go through, you know, Parliament, Congress, and a lot of people have to sign off on it. But Ruchnis, you got it. So he says, "Im shoyel adam davar shu shevach leboyrei, praise to his creator, kigoin alimud Torah, oy davar acher, any matter that you're struggling in your spiritual life, mechavse shamayim, v'shoyfech es nav shoyel, if you pour out your neshama," that all the modern day commentators tell us, you know what, you can delete these words. The imamish, you don't have to take this, what it says, v'shoyfech nav shoyel. Today, you don't need to do that. You just need to read the words. Read the words. Just slow down a little bit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoymeya Tefilosoy Af Alpi She'en Biyodoy Ma'asim Tovim Yavnozchos. Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll learn about Sugya of Balei Mumim. A person who has a blemish, is he allowed to be a Shliach Tzibur?
You know anything about Florida Cola?